He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Not a week after I arrived, I received a letter of drafting. So I got drafted. Military service over there is compulsory.
Drafted not just into any military, but the Iraqi military. Worse, this was in 1986.
I thought being high qualified with a PhD degree, they will not sacrifice me. I thought I was too valuable for them. That's what I thought. So I was called up, and that was in the middle of the Iraq-Iran war when I got there.
The brutal, exhausting Iran-Iraq war that started in September 1980 would drag on for another 8 years when it finally ended in a stalemate in 1988.
One day there was a massive battle, and they needed every capable hand. So that included many people, and I was one of them. Everything you see in movies happened there.
Yeah, after all these years later, that's a laugh at war. Maybe it's a way to keep the memories from dragging you down. That's Hossam Razak, and I'm Kavimbri Rabukumar. Welcome to this episode of Voices. Hossam was sent to the army just after he'd returned home from New Zealand in 1986, armed with a fresh new PhD. And what happened there in the midst of the war would change his life, leading him back to New Zealand, to new research, and an idea that could potentially save many lives. When Hossam Razak went back to Iraq, he was hoping to take up a job at Baghdad University using the PhD in biochemistry that he'd just earned at Lincoln University in Canterbury. Instead, Hossam was drafted, managing payrolls and rations for the Iraqi army.
We look after the salaries, the food rations and supplies, etc., etc.
But the reality on the ground meant he wasn't always going to be tied to a desk, like in that massive battle that he described.
They train you how to move, how to use the weapons, simple tactics. But when it comes to real life, it's totally different.
How long did that last for?
18 months. And that was not a pleasant experience at the time. At the time, it just shattered me.
Hossam was one of the many students who left his country in the late 70s to get an overseas education. It was a period that many saw as a high point in Iraqi modern history. A fast-growing economy, farming and agriculture, the country was an example of prosperity for the rest of the Middle East.
In Iraq, I graduated with a bachelor's degree in agricultural engineering. And then, because I was top student, I was awarded with a fully sponsored government scholarship. And in the past, I mean, in the good old days, the collaboration was very much encouraged by the Iraqis, and where they sent thousands of students to study overseas and come back with qualifications and experience. Mm-hmm. And that helped developing the country. I was given the choice of to go to the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. And New Zealand was an unknown country at the time. And I thought, well, this is a pioneering work. So I made up my mind to come to New Zealand. Not only me, there were about 10 others. We were the pioneers, first Iraqis ever to arrive to this part of the world.
What was that like?
Very strange.
I know, and all the way here in Lincoln, all the way in Canterbury.
Yes, Lincoln has expanded exponentially recently. But in the 80s, Lincoln was a very small village. Mm. Imagine Lincoln during summertime and Christmas, New Year area, where students all go to their families, people leave for holidays, and the Iraqis standing in the middle of the empty village. Unfortunately, the war with Iran started in 81, and things started to going downhill from there onwards. Mm. So when I went back to Iraq after finishing my PhD, things were not as rosy as when I left.
He came back to a country at war. year and a half he served in the army in the south, between Basra and Misan, his PhD waiting to be put to its rightful use.
18 months later, what happened?
Well, when you see, when you go through that kind of horrible situation, your body defenses start to kick in, and the only thing you need to know is how to survive, and you'll be glad to have survived. Many younger than me have lost their lives. That changes your the values a little. After that became, we had the sanction for 13 years, and that sort of crippled us. And that was one of the reasons that I decided to move to New Zealand.
Hundreds of thousands are said to have died in the Iran-Iraq war. It was the beginning of several destructive decades that Iraq is yet to recover from. In 1996, 10 years after being back in Iraq, Hossam moved back to Lincoln with his family this time, and impressions of a home that was changed forever.
I'm not a military man, so not in a military industry. So there is nothing I can do in that thing, in that area. However, it gave me the that experience gave me the idea of healing rather than producing something deadly.
Hossam started working on biomaterial research at Lincoln's Plant and Food. His interest became the application of bioplastics in a range of industries: pharmaceuticals, agriculture, food.
Basically, we were working on bioplastics, developing biodegradable substitutes for the fossil fuel plastics, which is a problem, an environmental problem. And we have achieved some success. But during the course of doing that, we discovered that we can actually recover a wealth of polymers from waste material.
I'm with Hossam in his office. I'm surprised at how spartan his office is. There aren't many hints of his life in Iraq, a life filled with so many experiences. I suppose science and sentiment don't always mix. He's a tall man who moves slowly and deliberately in large steps. We walk over to the lab and he pulls out a leathery sheet of brown plastic.
Just to explain what I'm talking about.
Oh, wow. So what's this?
This is a biodegradable plastic. This is from a cereal extract.
Wow, that's really hard to believe that it comes from a natural source. That stretchy, too.
Stretchy,
quite stretchy.
Flexible. Transparent, semi-transparent. So this can replace the glad wrap, for example.
It's really tough, huh? It doesn't
tough.
Actually rip very easily, too.
No,
wow.
It's quite resilient.
It's thick and rubbery and made of plant cellulose. The cellulose is extracted from post-harvest waste from cereal crops like barley or wheat. These bioplastics are most commonly used for food packaging. But Hossam's application is an idea that he'd been steadily chipping away at for many years, born out of the seed of suffering he'd witnessed during those days of war.
Visiting friends in the hospital, injured casualties, I noticed that the burn victims were suffering the most. Of course, all casualties are painful, but the burn victims, there are lots of them, because when something goes off, there's a big fireball, and just if it catches someone, it just burns the clothes, the skin, that kind of thing. I thought, well, how can we help these? And when I started to make the plastic, and as you have seen this flexible thing, I noticed that if we put it in water, it absorbs water, uptakes water, and becomes rubbery. You would think it will just tear apart, but it doesn't. It just absorbs, takes up water, and becomes rubbery. And that gave me the idea, how about we use that as a wound dressing? So if we load it with antibiotics. See, the major threat to burn victims is the infection. So if we load it with antibiotics, a little bit of cream, it might be easy for the wound, because then it absorbs, you know, the moisture, the burnt areas ooze plasma. So if this absorbs the plasma, which is good, if it has antibiotics in it to keep the to stop the infection or reduce the possibilities, then why not?
We're talking about biodegradable dressings made out of waste from plants.
There's some work going on now, but we cannot mention much about that. That it increases the cell migration in the wound. So imagine you have a cut.
Yeah.
And this material enhances the migration between the two edges of the cut, which means faster closure, faster healing. So we are having some, we have some work around this area.
Hossam's not the only scientist in the world working on this idea, but he sees big future demand for such dressings and a huge potential for New Zealand to lead in this sort of green technology. The idea for a wound dressing is under research and has been tested for antiviral and antibacterial properties, while the cell migration properties are being investigated.
For it to finally see the light of day and for it to become a commercially available product, that's a very long process, isn't it?
Well, nothing has evolved and developed within a short period of time.
Yeah.
Some products do get developed quickly, but many of them take years.
Hossam dreams of collaborating with and contributing to Iraq someday through his science.
The Institute encourages collaboration. Given the right circumstances and benefits for both parties. So if the things settle down in Iraq, and since the American invasion 2003, everything has become chaotic. Very sad to say it, but that is what's happening.
Once every while, he's reminded of the busyness of Baghdad, but that feels a world away these days, a world away from the fields of Canterbury. Hossam still soaks up that peace and tranquility and the chance that it gives him to do his work.
Living in New Zealand, getting to know nature and things like that, because this time it took quite a while to get used to that with someone who has started to like the idea of peace and tranquility and things like that, from someone who never experienced that.
That's Voices today. Big thanks to Hossam Razak for talking to me. I'm Kadambri Raghukumar, and each week I produce a story on people from all around the world who now live in New Zealand. If you like what you hear, follow our podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also find other great RNZ podcasts on the RNZ website, along with Voices. Thanks for listening. Today's episode was mixed by Jeremy Ansell, and I'm Kadambri Raghukumar.